The committee would come to order, please. This is the Senate State Affairs Committee meeting. It is Tuesday, March 21st, approximately 3:45 in the afternoon. All members of the committee are present. We have one bill on the agenda today. That is House Bill 489. We have the staff from the House Finance Committee, who is the sponsor of the bill here, Sue Wright, to present the issue to us. So, Sue, if you'd like to go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Sue Wright, and I work for State Representative Mike Chenault. A few weeks ago, we were contacted by several contributors to the event and the Fahrenkamp Golf Classic, and we were told that somebody was writing emails to lobbyists telling us we were doing it wrong. And we're just here to make us do it right after 17 years. So I'm going to sort of sit back and wait for the proposed amendments and comment on perhaps which ones are acceptable and which ones aren't. I think we're all familiar with Fahrenkamp. We're all familiar with what goes on and the fundraising that happens and the goodwill and intent. And so I'm going to just sort of sit here silently and...
Okay. Any questions from committee members? Seeing none, why don't we first go to Joyce Anderson in Anchorage with the Legislative Ethics Committee. Joyce, are you online?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, my name is Joyce Anderson. I'm the administrator for the Select Committee on Legislative Ethics. And what I would like to say about the bill is, first of all, is that the Ethics Committee has already issued an advisory opinion in 1994 that allows legislators and legislative staff to receive donations of a charitable contribution from lobbyists. So the Ethics Committee does not have any issue with that at all. It's already in an advisory opinion, and it seems to have been a something that wasn't in sync between the lobbying law and the ethics law. The advisory opinion, which is Advisory Opinion 9406, states that as long as the contribution is on behalf of the charity, then it does not fall within the restriction of the gift statute, because technically it's not a gift. It's a gift to the charity and not to the legislator or the legislative staff person. And just want to make a point to say that this doesn't prohibit organizations and private individuals and so forth from giving as well. So it's not something that it now opens it up, I guess, to everyone. I guess I just wanted to point out that the Ethics Committee is in favor of the change of this legislation based on Advisory Opinion 9406. I just want to point out, too, that the Ethics Committee has actually not met to discuss this opinion. I have been apprising the committee of a development along the way here. The other thing that I provided in my testimony, which you should have a copy of, my written testimony, that I'm just throwing out to the committee for a suggestion, a discussion item, that possibly there should be a disclosure when gifts to these pre-approved charity events are received. And then the disclosure would be similar to a disclosure that is required right now of legislators and staff when they receive a gift for travel, hospitality, or a family member does. It's a disclosure that's due within 30 days. I'm just throwing that out for an idea. What it does is it provides some accountability and transparency on both the legislative side and the lobbying side. I have had two calls from two lobbyists wanting to know if there's any type of an accounting on the legislative side through the ethics law for accountability for the gifts that they give to these types of donations. So I guess I just wanted to point that out as well. Those are my comments, Mr. Chair.
Okay. So we've also got a copy of a memo that you wrote to Sue Wright. No, I'm sorry, that's from APOC. So you agree that it's not an issue or problem with the ethics law. It is an inconsistency with the lobbying statute. Is that
correct, Mr. Chair?
Okay. Any questions for Joyce? Seeing none, Tammy, why don't we have you come forward then?
For the record, my name is Tammy Kempton. I'm the regulator of lobbying for the Alaska Public Offices Commission. And I did testify when this was heard in House Rules I really have nothing to add to that at this point. Like Sue, I'm interested to see if there are any amendments, and depending on what they are, would appreciate an opportunity to make a comment at that time. At this point, the commission has a neutral position and put in a zero fiscal note.
Okay. What if we get right to a few issues. As I mentioned before, we actually started the meeting just so people would have it in mind. On page 4, line 10, we talk about for the specific charitable activity, there are certain legislators' offices that are involved in sort of coordinating the event. So it would be legislators and their legislative employees. Would it clarify things? Is it needed on line 10 there, page 4, after J, so that would say a legislator or legislative employee would not be prohibited from making that solicitation? Is that needed or not needed?
Well, I believe it's needed because the lobbying law prohibits a lobbyist from doing anything that causes somebody who is under AS 2460 from breaking that law. If you don't have a legislative employee there, and the legislative employee is the one soliciting, have they broken the law? If the lobbyist then responds by giving a gift because they, I don't know, but it's problematical.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and we do have examples of letters that went out from a couple of offices, you know, soliciting some of the donations, and I'm sure that staff was involved in that. Whether they've actually delivered the letter or spoke to an individual, it seems to me that if we want to allow the activity, that we should just clearly allow the activity so that there's no question for anybody in a particular office then being under suspicion. Mm-hmm. Senator Elton.
I mean, Mr. Chair, I agree with you. And in fact, if we don't do it now after having been advised, I mean, somebody could make the argument that we meant it to only apply to the legislator.
So. Okay. Well, then I think at this point I will move as amendment number 1 that we add on page 4, line 10, after the word legislator or legislative employee to that section. Are there any questions on the amendment? Is there any objection? Seeing none, that will be adopted.
Mr. Chair, I have a question.
Go ahead.
There are two ledge council, and this is just right off the top of my head because I haven't been apprised of this change. This said non-political charitable organization in a state facility. There are two that I'm thinking of right away that are not held in a state facility, and that would be Thanksgiving in March and the Skits. And so I'm not sure that in a state facility, or perhaps I'm just reading this quickly and wrong. I don't want to get anybody else into trouble here while we're doing this.
Well, Tammy, I think the issue would be not so much that we get anybody into trouble, would perhaps leave some people out from a charitable activity that's been ongoing here.
Well, Senator Terrio, this isn't the lobbying law, so I'm not comfortable responding to this. But when I read it, I thought in a state facility meant if the legislator or legislative employee was in the state facility, they could ask for the contribution. I didn't read it to mean that that's where the charity event took place, because I believe I was under the impression the Fahrenkamp Classic was the only one that actually took place in a state facility. I thought state facility, as I said, referred to where the individuals we're doing the soliciting and the accepting.
Okay. Well, let's ask Joyce Anderson, are you able to speak to the particular interpretation of that language?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Basically, that was a language that was put in 2001 legislation, And it was only, a legislator and a staff person can solicit and receive donations for a charity anytime, any place. This particular legislation allowed it to occur in a state facility, which was prohibited before.
Okay.
So basically, Sue's concern or the other concerns regarding having the event not in the state facility does not apply here.
Okay. So the state facility is where the solicitation or requesting is being made, not where the event's taking place?
That's correct, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Then on page 6, it's my understanding that we had, there was some discussion with staff about the tickets from a lobbyist for a charity event at any time, including during a session, except the tickets to or gifts received at a charity event under this paragraph are subject to a calendar limit. So the issue that had come up was a gift received. If I go to, say, the Thanksgiving in March, there was a silent auction. Okay, well, I have to make a bid. I have to pay money. There was the cake auction. I have to make a bid. I have to pay money. But there was a drawing at the end of the night. If I had won the cruise, would that have had to exist under the charitable limit? Or because it is a game of chance, that is not a gift? Joyce, what's your interpretation?
Mr. Chair, I did have a conversation with your staff person, Heather, and basically we've had an advisory opinion in the past, I don't have it right in front of me, that says that if you receive a gift at a game of chance or it was a random drawing, that it would not fall under the gift limit of the 250. In the conversation that Heather and I had, I'm not quite sure, this was language that was also put in just recently, and my recommendation would be that we take out the word or gifts received at and just leave the word ticket. It would be not appropriate, even based on that advisory opinion that we have, to have someone not accept a gift, let's say of $500, because it was a random drawing, because it would fall over the $250 limit. I believe the discussion back when this was passed, the intent was to put the limit on the lobbyist of $250 for giving gifts to legislators for charity events. So based on my discussion with Heather and your analysis as well, with your example, I would say we could go ahead and remove that.
Senator Elton.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Joyce, my pie made it to the Thanksgiving in March, but I didn't. But so I may not have the best knowledge of what happened. But if you do that, I mean, for example, the cruise this year was won by a lobbyist who then gave it to the second place person. Now that second place person was not a legislator or a legislative employee, but if you remove that language, would that allow the lobbyist to then give the cruise to a legislator?
Mr. Chair, Senator Elton, no, it would not, because the gift statute says that you cannot receive a gift from a lobbyist during session.
Okay.
And even if you were to receive a gift, it couldn't be over the 250. So no, based on the current statute, the lobbyist would not be able to give it to a legislator or a legislative staff person if they decided not to keep that.
Okay. Thanks, Joyce.
So, Joyce, my only concern with dropping out or gifts received at is that we not trigger here in the last committee referral some unintended consequence. Is it a problem if the language is left in with the interpretation that a game of chance and having your name drawn as part of a game of chance is just that, it's a game of chance, it's not a gift?
Mr. Chair, that's possible based on that advisory opinion, like I said, which I don't have in front of me. It's possible the intent for this was gifts other than those that would be available to everyone else, gifts that would be specific to legislators and staff. I'm not sure. I don't recall the discussion at that time. I could certainly do some further research, but that's a very possible interpretation, yes.
Okay, and I would think that under gifts, somebody said, well, what about a goodie bag at the putting tournament that maybe has, you know, some tees and a couple golf balls and a baseball cap? Perhaps we, not knowing how that might impact that, we should leave it in. It's clearly under the $250 range.
Mr. Chair, if I could point out, the gift limit is from the same individual, from the same person. So if the goodie bags were gifts from four corporations, even though they were all in one goodie bag, it would, there would be no way that I would see that it would add up to the $250.
Yeah. Okay. So, committee members have any opinion one way or another? It seems like it's workable with the language left in. And again, just as the last committee referral, I don't want to trigger any unintended consequence, so perhaps we'll just leave that one the way it is. And then on back on page 4, the new language on line 18, it seems like most, you know, the A, B, C, D, E, F, the ticks through there, most of the sections start with a legislator. On J, we specifically have put a legislator or legislative employee. Down on L, is there, do we need to put legislator or legislative employee, or is it okay, Joyce, just to have L say full participation in a charity event?
Well, Mr. Chair, that's a good question. If you look back on page 3, where it does use the word, actually going back to, page 2, where it says a legislator or a legislative employee is not on line 29, that's A, and then you go through and then you're saying may, and then the exemption would be the full participation. I would say we could go either way with that. It seems clear to me, but if the committee felt they wanted to start it out with a legislator or legislative employee, I think the intent would be the same.
Okay. And let me just check. Heather, did you by chance have any discussion with drafting about that?
No.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Elder.
It would seem to me that it probably doesn't do any harm, but it also seems clear to me that if you look at subsection 2 on page 3, it does talk about the legislator, legislative employee, or another person, and then it goes on to say this paragraph does not prohibit L full participation. So I'm not so sure you need to do that. There are others. I mean, if you go down the letters, there are others that just say a legislator rather than a legislator or legislative employee too. So I'm not so sure you need to do it.
Yeah. Well, if it's workable without making the change, then I feel comfortable just leaving it the way it is. So, and then the final issue is effective date, or takes effect immediately. I'm just wondering, Sue, did you have any discussion on the House side about, you know, requests for the contributions that have already gone out? And is there a need to make it retroactive, or as long as this, you know, is signed in and nobody's filed any kind of complaint, there's not a problem?
I'm going to be honest with you, Mr. Chair. I've sent 263 letters out, and that's probably construed to be 263 violations. An effective date would be nice, but it's not something. I already have promises to keep my commissary account full in jail if necessary. It adding a little humor to it, it probably isn't going to make any difference to me at this point in time. It's all, this whole event is done with all of the goodness of our hearts, and I can't see anybody filing a complaint. If they do, then shame on them.
Joyce, do you have an opinion on whether in fact we need to make it retroactive, or it's not necessary?
Mr. Chair and committee members, I would say that if they haven't accepted any contributions from lobbyists to this point, it should become effective the way it's written in the bill. If they have received some contributions from lobbyists, which they shouldn't have, then it should be retroactive. So I guess I'll refer that back to C sue. I would prefer that if they have, that it become retroactive, so there would not be an issue.
Okay, well, we're getting a head shake here that they have not.
No.
So hopefully we'll have everything signed into law before any acceptance is done, and so there's not an issue. So I think that's all the issues that I had in the bill. Do other committee members have any questions? Seeing none, we've got a zero fiscal note, or 2-0 fiscal notes, and Senator Wagner.
I'd move CS for House Bill number 489, /F, attached fiscal note, individual recommendations.
Okay, it wouldn't be /F, it would be our new CS.
We'll
have a new CS, so. Is there objection to moving out the Senate State Affairs CS? Seeing none, we'll report it. It's likely to be on the floor tomorrow. And with that, we are adjourned for the day.